We are back. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Build 2016, and I've got a very special guest. I was actually really excited to have you on. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do, bud.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Gabe Aul. I'm the head of the Windows Insider program at Microsoft and the WDG group. Uh-huh. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, but he kind of downplays it, people. I mean, this is the guy that literally has a button. You push a button that says, Windows is now free to the Insider ring.
Right? Yeah.
Tell us about the whole process of, because you can't just be like pushing buttons all the time.
No.
How does this whole process work?
The funny thing is the button, there really is a button. I did it as an IoT project. It's a 3D printed case and an Arduino that controls it and everything. But it really was just for fun. It was for the team. The button is really, it's a group of people that meets every day. We call them flight ops. And they're just people that are from different parts of the WDG group, from our product support group, from marketing, and you know, they get together and they look at a lot of data for every build that comes out every day to decide if they want to promote that build out from the innermost rings to the the outermost rings for Windows Insider Slow, and now we have a release preview ring as well. So the button really is those people collectively, you know, getting together, and you know, I'm one of them as well, making a decision on, do we have all the right data to be able to make a good decision? You know, and we press the button and it does some fun stuff. But it actually is a very sophisticated system for flighting that we've built over the last, you know, really 18 months, a little over 18 months, 2 years. To be able to actually go from, you know, you think about what it took to release Windows in the Windows 7, Windows 8 timeframe. It was two plus weeks of work to do all of the final release prep and staging on our download servers and everything like that. Now we do that in a matter of hours for an external flight. And we actually, internally, we flight, you know, hundreds of builds every day. It's, you know, one thing that, you know, people don't necessarily know is that the way that our branch system works for Windows, we actually have 300 branches that where each sub-team works in their own branch, and then they roll up to our main branch, and then off of that main branch we have a release branch, which is what goes out to all the Windows Insiders. But every single one of those branches gets built every day.
Wow.
And so we actually, you know, every day we have over 75,000 systems that do our Windows build. It's about 3 acres of hardware.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we move exabytes of data in order to actually pull everything together to sync from all of our source control build. Every language, every SKU, every edition gets built every single day across those 300 plus branches. And then for each team, they actually have their own kind of local button.
The mini button.
Yeah, so the way it works is that after something is built, we run about 5 million tests on the builds that on each build, if those tests pass, then we declare the build ready for our canary, our innermost ring. So it's an automated decision at that point, and it happens again for every local team as well as those top level branches for our main and release branches, and so that the local teams then they look at their local results every day and see if they've got any issues, and then they can flight out to their broader local team as well. So. It's a really kind of neat, intricate, interrelated process that ultimately winds up getting out to insiders. And it happens so fast now. It's really amazing. The time it takes with the new cadence of the fast ring for a build to go from canary, so automated, it's the automated tests are run and it goes to our canary branch. It's about 5 days now. To go through our inner rings to the WIP fast ring. So, you know, people that are getting builds externally now are getting incredibly fresh, recent changes. And it's all, part of this system that we've been building. So.
Awesome. So again, if you're watching, we have him. This is the man with the big red button.
The red button.
That they built. If you have questions, please ask them. So I'm gonna have a couple of questions just to sort of get started. You mentioned this notion of rings.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that means for someone that maybe is outside? Because this is a really unprecedented look at how we actually build Windows and get it out. Because it's not like we used to, where you'd have this big CD and you would put it on,
right,
and then you would get an SP 1 and 2. This is very different, right?
Yeah. It's all, it's distributed through our Windows Update infrastructure. And the rings are basically just, you can think of it just as a group. And the innermost ring is sort of a small group. It's the engineers inside the WDG organization. And we call it Canary. It's the very first ring that goes out. And then what happens is that the build is, you know, deployed automatically through Windows Update. So, you know, every day we see the same, you know, hey, getting ready and installing and, you know, so everybody, you know, comes in the morning and, you know, that's the first thing they see because they got to build every night.
Sure.
And then they use those builds throughout the day, and they use this, they actually use the same feedback app that insiders use. It's, we have, you know, the same app. We just have sort of a custom channel for our internal feedback. But they use the build. They vote on the build quality just like Windows insiders do, and they send bug reports, you know, and problem reports and suggestions too through the feedback app. And then once there's sort of some data flowing in the Canary ring, then our flight ops team meets. They meet every day, and they look at that data and they say, you know, are there performance problems? Are there reliability problems? Are there bug reports that we think are things that would prevent that build from being usable by the next sort of larger set of people? If everything looks good, then they will do what's called ring promotion, where they say, yeah, this is ready to go to the next ring. They push the button, and then that build is now pushed out and made available to that next largest ring. From Canary, that we have a self-host ring, which is all of our WDG group, and so then it goes to those folks, and the same thing, they'll get the build automatically and go through the same process, sending feedback, sending problem reports, and then, you know, again, we meet, the flight ops team meets, they look at that. The thing that's changed this year that's you know, been really exciting for us is that it used to be it went Canary to self-host to all of Microsoft, then to Windows Insider Fast, then to Windows Insider Slow as the progression. We got so much feedback from Windows Insider Fast Ring about faster cadence, and we realized that, you know, they're actually a lot more like we are internally, yeah, around, you know, their willingness to try new things and you know, put it on test boxes and run that code, that we changed the progression. So now it goes Canary to self-host to Windows Insider Fast, and then to all of Microsoft.
That's interesting, because you know what? It felt like whenever you have like an insider's program, sometimes, yeah, it's like marketing speak for, here, we'll give you a token t-shirt.
No.
Like literally the Windows insiders are providing feedback before the general employees at Microsoft.
In fact, we now have this problem where our Microsoft ring is kind of shrinking a little bit because the Microsoft employees are saying, hey, I want to get the build faster too. And so they're joining the Insider Fast ring, because now they know that that's actually the fastest place to get it.
And the cool thing I like is that you're saying that the feedback loop is exactly the same whether, mm-hmm, you're a Windows Insider or whether you're getting a Canary build or whatever.
Yeah, a little different. There are some things, some data that we collect from employees that we would not collect from external people. You know, for example, we know your alias, your email alias, if you send a problem report internally, and that's not something we do for privacy reasons.
Sure.
Externally, all the data externally is all anonymized, so we don't actually have that capability. But it's the same. It's the same system, the same tools that are used for internal people to report those bugs and report problems that they see, that Windows insiders get to use. And so it's like insiders are they're part of the team. They're part of our engineering team.
And I like how we're not just saying that, you know, like, hey, you're blessed with an insider, here's a team. Literally, we are relying on insiders' feedback.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, maybe off the top of your head, maybe you can remember, what are some of the things that some of the insiders have caught that have helped a lot?
Oh, gosh. Probably the biggest thing is around the crash reports that we get. Because the thing that I think is, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the Windows ecosystem is so big. There's so many devices, so many apps, that it's really challenging for us to be able to, in our test infrastructure, be able to have that representation, that full representation. So the builds getting out to insiders and running them on their own systems with, you know, their unique hardware, with their unique apps and configuration, then it actually helps us find and fix those problems that are, you know, maybe not the ones that everybody's going to run into, but that a certain class of, you know, a certain device or a certain kind of app is going to run into. So we get lots and lots of those kinds of reports that help us just improve the quality, improve the reliability of the platform. Besides that, I mean, there's tons and tons of examples where they've given us feedback that has helped us make decisions about how we want the platform to work. We've done. We started this series recently of his articles made by you inside the Feedback Hub. So now you can sort of go in one place. Feedback Hub is the unified Insider Hub and Feedback app. We've brought them together. But we have these articles there that are stories that the engineering team are sort of telling back to the insiders. They're really like, they're sort of thinking of them as like love stories to the insiders.
Nice.
Like, you know, like we heard you and we, you know, used your feedback to help us make changes to the product. One of my favorites is the multi-window, our virtual desktops. We actually, the team really heavily leaned on insider feedback for that, because it's such an enthusiast feature.
Sure.
That they actually had, you know, their points in their development cycle where they were like, okay, we're going to go down path A or path B. Let's let the insiders tell us which one to choose. And so things like the default, whether the icons were in the split across taskbars or same taskbar mm-hmm. on each monitor or each virtual desktop, that was something that insiders, you know, really specifically, we use that feedback to guide the decision. There's another one recently that we did a quest in the Feedback Hub on the changes to the notification center. So we're moving the notification center icon to the right of the clock in the taskbar.
Nice.
And changing the way that sort of the iconography works for that when you get a notification. And we put a quest out and said, here's the options, tell us which one you like the best. And so that feedback actually has guided the team to make the decision on how it's going to appear.
I'm a fan of this. I mean, I come from like the old ASP.NET stuff, and now how it's being really open. I love how Windows is also open to real feedback, and it's actually improving our product.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, there's some questions. Still in school and want to use the newest Windows 10 builds, but concerned about constant clean installs. Can I still give feedback in regular Win 10?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two options for people that want to give feedback on Windows 10. For one, the feedback app is included in the product, so anybody, whether you're an insider or not, can send feedback and can send us, you know, problem reports and suggestions. So that's one thing. But we also recently added this release preview ring, and this is kind of a cool thing. It's for people that want to use the released version of the OS, so not a preview build, but the release preview version of the OS, but still get servicing updates, get apps, and get drivers sooner than everybody else does in order to sort of give us feedback on those things as they go out. So, and that's part of the Insider program, but it is kind of the safest ring you can be in, because it's keeping the underlying platform on the release platform version.
So this leads to another question that maybe hopefully you can answer. Because we have these notions of rings, it feels like Windows is no longer like, okay, now there's going to be Windows 11, Windows. It feels like we're constantly getting sort of this, because you said you do this like every 5 days sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is Windows just going to just keep evolving now?
Yeah, that's the notion of Windows as a service, is that, you know, everyone can. It's like if you go to Facebook, you know, what version of Facebook do you run?
Who knows?
You know, right? That's really how we sort of see Windows being, that Windows 10 is the last like sort of major Windows version where you'll go to the store and you'll buy a, you know, DVD and install it or download it as a product. And then once you have that, you just keep getting the new stuff, you know, just regularly as part of your experience with Windows. We actually think of this as the outermost ring beyond our preview program is the released product. We actually talk about it as the development branch. That's where we're sort of working. So if you're an insider, you're on the 14,000 series builds, and that's in our development branch. And then there's the current branch, which is out to sort of everyone, and that's the 10586 series that we released in October. So it is, that will continue to evolve as the 14,000 series, and now called the Anniversary Edition, as that gets completed, it will you know, flight out to all of our customers in the current branch.
This is amazing. So Ben asks, you said the button in quotes is for slow and release branch. How does the fast get selected if not in flight ops meetings? You mentioned a little bit about that.
No, actually, fast is still selected in flight ops meetings. So flight ops is our, like I said, everyday meeting. There's about 15 people that are there, plus some more virtually that are there. And they're actually making all of the decisions for everything that comes out of our release branch. There are other team meetings for things that are in local branches, but for the release branch, which goes to employees in the Canary Ring, the Selfless Ring, and then to insiders in the Fast Ring. That's all done in flight ops, and it's all, you know, the button is all flight ops.
Okay, so we're just not willy-nilly pushing stuff out. There's a lot of forethought, a lot of meaning. The people that pushed all their little buttons said okay, and then it goes up to the middle. If that works, then we go to the Fast Ring.
It's sort of all the ones that are on the local branches. That's code that actually gets reverse integrated up into our main branch. So we don't take those actual bits. We rebuild it as the release branch bits. It's definitely not willy-nilly. We did a session yesterday. I think it's available on demand now for Inside the Insider program. And we showed some of the tools that we use in flight ops. We have a tool called Mission Control, which is really a dashboard for all of our different services that are involved. There's a lot of, you know, different pieces that come together here across staging, Windows Update, our telemetry service, our feedback platform. We have multiple services for feedback, for both the verbose feedback, for the pop-up surveys that you see, you know, to ask you a question, and for for things like problem reports, where we collect some additional data.
Sure.
So all those services come together in this thing called Mission Control. And Mission Control is a dashboard that Flight Ops uses to go through for each of the dimensions, the quality dimensions that we look at to make a ring promotion decision. They use that service. And that's something we've been, it didn't exist 2 years ago. We've been building it as we've been going. And as we've been evolving our own internal engineering processes, it's helped us do things like moving to this faster cadence on the Fast Ring.
So, was there pressure from your superiors to be faster, and then that caused certain changes? Or did you just decide, we want to be faster at this, and then you learn some stuff on the way? Because building an OS is not like building my point of sale application. It is completely different.
No, it was the opposite. It was me pushing for faster that caused our overall leadership team to say, okay, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to go faster. And it was just because, I'm out there every day talking to insiders and hearing this, we want faster, we want to be more connected to what's going on and see updates sooner. And that feedback, got me fired up, and I went and said, hey, what do we need to do to make this faster? And, we looked at it, and really, what we decided to do was we took the all of Microsoft Ring, out of the loop. We put them out further out, and we moved the insiders up. So that really helped. To speed up the cadence.
I love it. All right. Let's see. If insiders are helping provide feedback for builds, what is the most helpful? Reporting things are fine or only reporting bugs? What's the most helpful feedback? It's a really good question.
The most helpful feedback really is well-structured feedback. So that's the first thing I'll say is that, if you send a feedback report that just says, hangs, that doesn't help the team really kind of figure out what's going on. So, sending us, if it's a problem report, sending us, a real description of what you were doing, what you experienced, what you saw specifically when the problem happened, that helps us not only do, sort of some forensic work when we get the report, but it also makes it easier for other people who are, upvoting to say, oh, that was the problem I hit versus, something that's more general or hard to interpret. So the first thing I would say is whether it's a suggestion or a problem report, write that out in the feedback app in a way that helps it's going to help the engineers figure out what the root cause was. Or, and on the suggestion side, tell us a story about what you really want it to be like. There's sometimes things that we get suggestions on, they're very general, and so we kind of know that there's a direction that people want us to go, but not a really specific outcome. And so, tell us what you want to do with the thing, that you're suggesting. And that helps us, sort of figure out what the root goal is there. And then helps our team figure out what we can do for you.
Awesome. Next question. Hello, can insiders have more direct contact with the developers when they report big problems? We never know if what is sent through the feedback hub is enough for you to debug repro. Is there a way to give feedback that says, yes, we know, yes, we know?
Yeah, so actually we just announced this recently. It's in the 14295 build with the converged feedback hub. We now have this thing called talkbacks. And so now our engineers can actually respond directly to feedback that's been submitted. And we've actually hooked up, I think, about 63,000 of these so far. where we went sort of back through and found feedback where, you know, it's a bug we're working on, and we're, you know, letting people know, yes, we got it, we're working on it, or it's something where we have additional questions or maybe some workarounds or some comments on the feedback. So that is coming in, and we're hooking those up, and you'll see a lot more of those as new feedback is submitted.
That's amazing. That's even better than I thought. That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, we're excited about it. The other thing too that's cool, it's just a heads up for people. Coming soon, we're actually also adding commenting. So you if you see feedback and somebody says, you know, I want, you know, feature X, you can say, oh, I want that too, but I want it to be like a little like this. Or, no, I don't want that. I want it to be something different. So you can actually have more of a dialogue in the feedback app with both Microsoft engineers and with fellow insiders.
So I'm going to totally get into the insider stuff, because I'd love to give the feedback and stuff. Tell me a little bit, because you mentioned about upvoting and you mentioned about the feedback app. What does that look like for someone that's interested in becoming a Windows Insider? Where can they go to sign up, or how does this app even work?
Yeah, so to join the program, you go to insider.windows.com, and you register there with your Microsoft ID. And then you can, in the product, so you know anything that's running Windows 10, so you know PC, mobile, HoloLens, you can actually opt in to receive builds. And it's in settings under update, and you'll be able to then opt in there for which ring you want to be in. So whether you want, if for external folks, it's going to be either fast, slow, or release preview. And then that's it. And then from there, you know, we will deliver builds when they're available. There's an app in the build now called Feedback Hub. And when you open that app, it's gonna have, you know, some info about you. And once you've registered, you know, when you join the program, you can do quests where you can get badges for completing quests. They help us because usually a quest is about a particular part of the OS that we want people to try and you know, both exercise to find problems,
wow,
but also give us feedback on new things that are coming in, any announcements, if there's something that we need to, you know, share with insiders are there, and then also the ability to give feedback. So, you know, right at the top, you'll see a box says, hey, what's on your mind, and you can give us feedback right from there.
This is awesome. All right, next question. How are insider feedbacks analyzed for priority? For example, when a bug is submitted or a suggestion, how are these prioritized?
Yeah, it's a good question because it's not a simple prioritization. We certainly look at upvoting. So especially when a new build comes out, we'll look at the sort of things that are kind of popping as a high upvoted feedback. But the way it actually works is that it all comes into our feedback backend. We machine translate for locales, you know, into English, and then we do a bunch of different text analysis on the feedback to sort of cluster them, both using the categorization that insiders gave us. So when you are filing a report, you'll say it's with the shell or it's with this particular app. So we use that, but we also look at the words that they're saying, what they're talking about. And then those things all get fanned out to the different feature teams. We have 280 engineers that are dedicated as community champs across different feature teams. And their job basically is to parse all this incoming feedback for their area. So it's not a simple prioritization where we look at it and say, to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It actually all fans out, and each team in each area does their own prioritization. And so that allows us to get down to things where, you know, it doesn't have to be a giant, you know, upvoted thing for us to look at it. It can be individual problems or individual reports that we'll look at as well.
That's awesome. All right. I think this answers the question, too. You just answered it. Do you consider feedback that are in languages other than English? You're machine translating these things.
Yeah, we're machine translating, but we also have a number of people that are multilingual on the team. And so they will often go back, because, you know, machine translation is great, but sometimes you miss some subtlety.
Sure.
So people will also go and look at feedback, and you can very easily flip to the native language as well.
Awesome. Hey, here's another one. Why no official Windows 10 dark system theme?
Send feedback on that.
Yeah.
You might be pleasantly surprised.
Nice. Sergey, we need a way to hear feedback on our feedback. Oh, you just mentioned that. Like you mentioned there's like a new commenting system that you're adding.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. One of the things that I hear sometimes on Twitter is people say, hey, there's, you know, somebody submitting a bunch of junk feedback. And the commenting stream will actually be a way for insiders to give feedback on other other feedback, and hopefully people will do that in a nice and respectful way.
Be nice.
Be nice. But that is a way for, you know, for the, again, the community to kind of talk to each other as well as talk to us.
Okay, so the next one, I don't know. I mean, can you answer when can we expect a certain build to come out? I mean, it doesn't feel like, because it feels like it's a committee decision, right?
Yeah, it actually, it's a quality-based decision. So we build every single day. So the release branch is built every day. It goes to Canary pretty much every day. It's pretty rare that a build, you know, from a top-level branch like that doesn't pass the automated criteria. But it goes every day, and then we look at the data. And so, you know, let's say Friday's build comes out, and it kind of goes out to hits Canary on Saturday, and then on Monday we'll look at it to promote to self-host. If we find a bug that we say, you know, this is not ready to go to insiders, then we'll just go back and we'll look at Saturday's build, and we'll say, does Saturday's build have the fix for that, or does Sunday's build have the fix for that? And as soon as you know that the build that has the fix for that issue, you know, hits Canary, then we can reevaluate. We can decide, you know, okay, how about this one? Is this one good enough to go out? And you know, our track record this year has been pretty good. We've had 16, you know, PC updates in the first part of the year, and you know, you can see that we're moving things out pretty well.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
So you are.
It actually, it's fun stat for us. Just in the first half of this year, first third of this year, on the 14,000 series, we've done more PC previews than we did in all of the Win 10 cycle up to the 10.240 release.
So. It feels like you're getting more svelte and things are starting to become more operationally sound.
Yeah, that's right. And also the time it takes between when we start coding to when the first preview build's available is just massively shrunk down now. You went from, you know, in Windows 7 and Windows 8, we did more than two-thirds of the development kind of behind closed doors at Redmond. And so like 2 years of coding went by before we had the first preview build. And in Windows 7, we had two preview builds. And you know, with Windows 10, it was a little less than a year before people saw the first output. But with now with the both the 10586, the fall update, and with the anniversary update, you know, people are seeing the first builds within 30 days of our start of coding on that.
That's amazing.
So it's pretty awesome. I get feedback says, hey, there's not enough features, but like, you have to remember that before we had 2 years of work that we'd pile up and then show you features. Now it's 30 days before you start seeing builds, and so features are going to trickle in more than they're going to be a big hit. Mm-hmm. But you know, you saw the keynote. You're going to have some cool features that are going to show up in the very next build. So
awesome. Now you're a pretty prolific Twitter user, and I have seen you routinely interact with people that say, hey, this part doesn't work, and so. There's got to be some cool stories of things that you've learned, or maybe something that happened that you're like, oh man, I got to stay up really late at night and go back and do this. Or is there anything you can tell us like that?
Yeah, no. Twitter's been pretty remarkable for me personally and for the project. It's super fun for me to be out there, you know, talking to people and hearing their feedback, and so I love that aspect of it. It's a great data signal for us as well. Not only do we get, when people are sort of talking about issues that they're hitting on Twitter, we can correlate that. We take all that text in and text mine it along with the other feedback. And so we can correlate it and see, hey, is something blowing up on Twitter that's not showing up in the other feedback, or is it represented clearly there? And so that's an analysis that we do. But also the speed at which we get the feedback on Twitter. So here's a fun thing. Windows Update, it's a huge, huge service. It moves massive amounts of data. And it's geo-replicated, right? So for us to know whether builds are flowing out of Windows Update, using the Woo telemetry, there's about a 6-minute latency between when we press the button and the Woo service says, I'm now offering this.
Which is Windows Update, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, Windows Update. To the point where we actually get from Windows Update, the first confirmed download has been started. So about 6-minute delay in that. But it takes, you know, seconds for me to post on Twitter, hey, new build's available, before somebody comes back with a photo of the build downloading and saying, I'm getting it right now. And so we actually, when we do fly to build in flight ops, you know, we press the button and then everybody looks at Twitter to see if somebody's coming out and saying, yes, I'm getting the build. And so, you know, that's a fun thing for us too.
So we have only about maybe a minute or so left. What is the biggest benefit, do you think, for someone to become an insider? Why do you think it's a good idea to do that? We have about a minute.
Yeah, you know, hopefully it's a program that you'll feel like you're part of the engineering process, and that your ideas and suggestions are you know, making an impact on us, and that you see these things actually show up in the product. And you know, for me, the most satisfying tweets that I see are when somebody says, "Hey, that thing I suggested showed up," you know, and they're really excited, and then you know, that excitement is then infectious, and they tell all their friends to join the Insider program. And we've done that thousands and thousands and thousands of times. We've actually, I think the latest stat is somewhere over a million reports from insiders have resulted in direct changes to the product. And that's just huge, you know. So you can actually have a direct hand in engineering this thing that, you know, a billion people are going to use. It's pretty awesome.
I love it. And here's the thing. My respect for you is tremendously high. I saw one time you said, "We found a problem. We're going to work all weekend to get this fixed." I love how we're, as a company, community-focused, consumer-focused. We want Windows to be the thing you use.
Yeah, we can't do it without insiders. We can't do it without our customers. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody who's an insider. And we really appreciate, you know, all the help that you give us. And we hope that you enjoy the program for years to come.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks
so much for watching. And we're going to take it over to another session. Take care. We'll see you around the flip side.